comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Elder Care Show. I'm your host, Kira Reginato, and I own a company called Living Ideas for Elders. I'm an elder care manager, and I do the Elder Care Show every single week, and we choose a topic for the month, and May is a very important month. Not only is it Older Adults Month nationally, but it is the month here where we're talking about caregiving. And I want to build awareness about the support you need if you're doing this work. I want you to be prevented from getting to the end of your rope, which caregiving can lead people to feel that way. I have two great guests. One is by phone, Donna Shemp, who is a licensed clinical social worker and program director for a wonderful agency based in San Francisco called Family Caregiver Alliance. They've been around for over 30 years, and when I was getting my degree back in 85, I knew about them, and they're still going strong. And I'm in the studio with Julianne Anderson, who has been here before, and she's the owner of Home Instead Senior Care up here in Sonoma County. Hi, Julianne.
Good morning.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me, you guys. And I just want to open with some statistics that Julianne's going to share.
Well, nearly half of all caregivers rate their own personal health as fair to poor, which is actually quite surprising.
Fair to poor. Most people don't self-report something that negative.
No, definitely not. 4 in 10 of all caregivers 50 age or older actually say that they do not have a choice in being a family caregiver. It is just what's needed and what's expected of them.
Right. Especially that adult daughter just sort of falls to her. And
it
even though there's a
lap.
Whole bunch of siblings underneath her, nobody's stepping up.
And among people who are employed while being that family caregiver, have to make accommodations in their own workplace environment to
right.
accommodate that personal caregiving time. Most commonly, it's either going in late or leaving work early or just taking time off for a period of time just to go ahead and make sure that that caregiving is done.
Right, a lot of medical appointments. And I know people are on the phone with me at work, and they're in tears. So what kind of employee are they if they're, you know, so frustrated and breaking down and reaching out for help, but it usually is on company time because that's when most companies are open to help, right?
Absolutely, it's when the doctor's offices are open.
I was talking with Redwood Caregiver Resource Center, and they were saying that they're hearing a lot about people that are having to quit their jobs to caregive, and consequently, they're losing their own health insurance.
It's very true. We hear it when people call our office looking for respite care because it now becomes their full-time job. And at least when you have like a 9-to-5 job, you go home at the end of the day and you get a break from it. But with caregiving, if you're a full-time family caregiver, there is no time clock. It's 24/7.
24/7. And Donna, you and I were talking a little bit off air about what about if you're caring for a quote-unquote unloved one?
Well, you know, we always talk in the caregiving world about what, you know, your loved one this, your loved one that. You know, but in actual fact, it's not necessarily that you had this wonderful relationship with your parent if you're an adult child caring for someone. Or that even you've had a good marriage, or you know, you'd be surprised how many ex-daughter-in-laws are doing this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people end up being caregivers for very many different reasons and sometimes by default. And so it's not necessarily a loved one. I also wanted to point out, by the way, that not only do people who quit working to be caregivers often lose the medical benefits, which is very serious because back to that, you know, fair to poor health, they also now are no longer paying into things like Social Security, which is going to affect them if they're adult children when they get to retirement age because they're not going to have paid in as much. So there's a number of consequences that happen when family members have to give up employment in order to be a caregiver. And the third thing that I just wanted to add was that caregivers also experience a 50% higher incidence of depression than non-caregivers.
Yep. And I think part of that goes back, if you're not at your job, you don't have those water cooler venting sessions. There's really nobody to talk to. It's sort of you and the person you're caregiving 24/7, which can be extremely isolating. And that's why we're doing the show, because you guys both have resources that I want to put out to people. I've been promising to do that for the last couple shows. I've given some websites, but we're going to do more of that today. And what I find fascinating is that statistically people wait 3 to 4 years if they're caregivers to find help. And I'm thinking, you know, if I had a rock in my shoe, I really wouldn't walk around with it bothering me for 3 years. And yet people just sort of suck it up when they're caregiving for an amazingly long period.
Well, more than that, it's more that they slip into caregiving. Which is that, you know, you start out by, like, dropping by mom's and maybe taking a meal once a week or by taking her to the doctor's office or something like that.
Yep.
And so it's kind of a gradual thing. And so you actually don't realize there's a rock in your shoe, you know, until you get the blister. you know, because it's happened gradually.
Well, and talk about the most important thing they can do.
Well, yeah, you know, all caregivers need 3 things, which I call the IRS of caregiving.
Wait, before you do that, though, I want to talk about the role of a caregiver.
The role of a caregiver.
Yeah, because people don't self-identify.
People don't self-identify for caregiving. The thing is that, again, if you're just kind of taking mom to the doctor's office or you're just taking a meal or helping with the laundry every once in a while, you don't think of yourself as a caregiver. Or if you're a spouse who, you know, is caring for, you know, your husband or wife, you know, you're doing that which you do as a spouse, or you're doing that which you do as, you know, an adult child. And you don't say, oh, now I'm a caregiver, or I'm, you know, because you still think of yourself as the wife or the husband or the son or the daughter.
Right.
And so by not self-identifying as a caregiver, what happens is that you don't know that there are resources out there, that there are things that can be done to try to help support you in that caregiving. And you end up doing more and more without thinking about what you need to do to take care of yourself.
You were saying by most of the time when people call Family Caregiver Alliance, they're pretty hysterical for help.
Yes, just like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the time people actually reach out for help, it's usually when they're really on their last straw.
Okay.
You know, and they call and they say, I can't take this anymore. I want to jump off the bridge. I'm going to put mom in a nursing home because I can't stand this anymore. And, you know, and it's not that they haven't been doing a good job. It's just that they have had no breaks. The longer you're a caregiver, the more isolated you get. And you haven't gotten the support that you've needed along the way.
So talk about your acronym. I love it.
The IRS of caregiving, which is that all caregivers need 3 things. And the first thing they need is information. And particularly they need information about the diseases that they're dealing with. Because, for instance, if you're dealing with someone with dementia or Alzheimer's disease, there's all kinds of communication skills and behavior management skills that you need to learn because they're counterintuitive. They're not the kinds of things that you would just do naturally.
Thank you for saying that.
And so, you know, learning about these diseases, you know, and what needs to be done now, like getting legal papers in place before someone is no longer able to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do all that kind of information gathering. You also want to learn information about community resources. What's out there to help you? Meals on Wheels or adult daycare or hiring through an agency like Home Instead or any of those kinds of things you want to do to help you in your caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to have support. And, you know, one of the questions I always ask caregivers is, who do you call when you're having a bad day?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no one, or I don't want to bother my children, or everyone's sick of hearing it. And so they have no one to talk to just let off steam with.
Mm-hmm.
And so not having any support is really hard. So whether, you know, Family Caregiver Alliance has 2 online support groups, Links to Care, and then there's a general caregiver support group. If you can't get to a support group offered by the Alzheimer's Association or some other agency in town, you really do need to get information. And the support groups not only gives you support for your own frustrations, but also some tricks that other people may have learned.
Yes.
That will make your job a lot easier. And again, having someone that you can call when you are having a bad day and say, I just need to let off steam, or, you know, I lost it today with the person I was caring for and now I'm feeling guilty, and, you know, all those other things that make it very hard to be a caregiver. And then the third thing all caregivers need is respite, which is they need breaks from caregiving. They need those times to, you know, down times, because otherwise it's a 24/7 job. And, you know, if you don't have those breaks to take a breath for yourself and take care of your own needs, I mean, even like going to the doctor. We'll say to people, like, how recently have you been to the doctor? Well, I can't get there, you know, will be the answer.
Right. Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask Julianne to tell us a little bit about people that have gotten respite. And I'd like for you to give out Family Caregiver's website so people can contact that.
Sure. Our website is www.caregiver.org. And our 800 number is 800-445-8106. And we have on our website what's called Family Care Navigator, which gives resources throughout the United States. So not just here, but if you're in California, there are 11 caregiver resource centers in California.
Right.
To be there to support caregivers.
And I want to give out our local caregiver resource center. It's Redwood Caregiver Resource Center. I gave it out the last couple of weeks. It's 707-542-0282. You're listening to The Elder Care Show. I'm in with Donna Shemp from Family Caregiver Alliance and Julianne Anderson from Home Instead, and we'll be right back after this break. And I'm in with Donna Shemp from Family Caregiver Alliance and Julianne Anderson from Home Instead. And I wanted to remind people that you guys at Family Caregiver Alliance and the resource centers, 11 of them in California, have respite money available, right?
Yes. We have some funds. They actually come mostly from federal dollars. There's something called the National Family Caregiver Support Program, which comes from the Older Americans Act, and goes from the federal government to the state to the counties. We get this money on a yearly basis, and so it starts in July and ends at the end of June. This being the middle of May, we may have very limited funds available at this point in the year. But we do try to provide respite care for caregivers to help them get those needed breaks.
And Julianne, you've talked with them and received that, haven't you?
We have. We actually have clients that came to us because they had the grants from the Redwood Caregiver Alliance, and we were able to service them and introduce them to the form of respite care that they weren't familiar with. And there have been a few instances where then the family members are able to then, on a scaled back, you know, schedule, remain clients of ours so that maybe once a week that family caregiver gets to have the respite time they need.
Okay. And I know oftentimes before someone really gets respite, it's because their own health is failing, or as you mentioned earlier, Donna, they sort of get that they're really depressed. And sometimes I know my clients have actually been hospitalized, the caregivers, because they've let their health run down so much. And then, Julianne, you guys are in there having to do 24/7 care at that point, right?
Actually, it's quite common. We get a call from an adult child saying, you know, my mom's been taking care of my dad, you know, for so many years, and we didn't realize exactly the extent of caregiving mom was doing for dad until mom was just recently hospitalized. And mom's going to be in the hospital for a week or two or longer, and suddenly now they don't know what to do and where to turn because mom had been doing that 24/7 for dad. So we get pulled in an emergency crisis situation where we need to just jump in and assess dad's needs and go ahead and be his caregiver until mom comes home, where at that point she's not strong enough to take care of herself and dad, so we stay in a little bit longer and help mom as well. So oftentimes we find that if we can get in there in a respite situation, we can help derail that failure, if you will, for when mom suddenly is incapacitated and not able to help be that family caregiver.
And, you know, talk a little bit about male caregivers. I know that they're sort of hesitant to admit that they're doing the caregiving role for a variety of reasons, but about one-third of caregivers, is that right, Donna, are male?
Yeah, it's about one-third are men. It's an increasing number, by the way.
Yeah.
And whether it's husbands or sons, you know, there are more and more male caregivers.
And you had a male that you were, or man that you were helping.
We did. We got a call from a gentleman who has a wife with Alzheimer's, and he is the primary caregiver, and just asked for me to come out and visit with him in his home and see what maybe we could offer him. In doing so, I looked around his home, as you do when you're there in the house, and I noticed he had all these photographs of himself playing golf over these years, but nothing really recently. And so I asked him, I said, you know, what do you do for your downtime? When do you get to recharge your batteries? Do you play golf anymore? And he said, oh, no, there's no time for that. And I said, well, why don't we make time for that? And that's your time to recharge yourself. And we'll come in maybe Thursday afternoons. And you go off with the guys, go to the country club, go play, you know, your round of golf, have lunch. And we'll spend the day there with your wife so that you come back and you're able to maintain that relationship and preserve that relationship of husband-wife. And we be the caregiver for the day. And he loved it.
And that is the other piece, which is sometimes we say to people, you need to go back to being a husband or a wife,
yes,
or a daughter or a son, as opposed to the caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
Because the relationship gets lost the more you are the caregiver and not in that other role.
Absolutely. And I don't want people's health to get so poor that they end up hospitalized. 24/7 home care can get really, really expensive, as opposed to having somebody come in from, let's say, home instead for 4 hours once a week. That might enable you to caregive much longer and healthier. What's Home Instead's phone number if people want to call you for a Father's Day gift certificate, perhaps?
A Father's Day gift certificate. The gift of care is a great gift to give Dad this year. Our phone number is 707-586-1516. And if you call and order a gift certificate, we will also give you one of our books, which is called The Stages of Senior Care. It's a great guide.
It is.
It helps you navigate through this time in life when you need direction and what to do with home care.
Actually, it outlines a whole bunch of things in senior care, and I love referring people to that book. It's sort of like a self-help guide. And actually, we're going to give away a copy when we go to break to the third caller and the fourth caller at 636-1350. I want to talk a little bit before we go to break, though, about your link to care. Talk about that, Donna.
Well, actually, we have two different online support groups. We have a general online support group, and then we have a special one for people who are just caring for someone with dementia here in California, and that's called Link to Care. And it's because a lot of people can't get to a support group,
right,
or they're not comfortable in support groups. And as an online support group, people write in and talk about their situation. They ask for support and advice from others. They get a lot of emotional support. But the thing I think that's most interesting is the most common time for people to log on to that support group is about midnight.
Mm.
And we know that that's because that's the first time the caregivers had a chance to sit down all day and just take a break.
And you said there are thousands of people on it right now.
Well, there are 2,700 people registered. There's not necessarily on it. Because a lot of people are just reading it and not necessarily posting, which is fine because they're still getting the information and the support.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how many people, you know, get this conversation every day by email.
And so they go to caregiver.org website?
Right.
Great.
Right.
And the Redwood Caregiver Resource Center, if you want to get on their mailing list or have a one-on-one counseling service locally, if you want to take a class, they have a class coming up for managing frustration, communicating. They'll do individual therapy on a limited basis. And they have a wonderful avenue for getting your emotions out doing art called Creative Alternatives Class. So please consider calling Redwood Caregiver Resource Center locally at 707-542-0282, or if you're somewhere else in the Bay Area and you want to call Family Caregiver Alliance, Donna, why don't you give them that 800
That's
number?
800-445-8106. And we serve the six Bay Area counties, just like Redwood Caregiver Resource Center serves the Northern California counties.
Great. You're listening to The Elder Care Show. I'm your host, Kira Reginato, and we'll be right back, and we'll take callers 3 and 4 for a copy of Stages of Senior Care. And we're back. You're listening to The Elder Care Show. I'm talking with Donna Shemp, who is Program Director at Family Caregiver Alliance in San Francisco, and Julianne Anderson from Home Instead locally. And we're talking about respite care and the importance of getting that if you're a caregiver. And Julianne, you were just saying, talking about quality of life issues off air.
A lot of people forget. They're focused so much on caring for that loved one, their mother, their father, their spouse. They forget about their own quality of life, which is so important. And within a marriage, you know, you are the adult daughter. You and your husband are caring for either your parents or his parents. And oftentimes, challenges arise in a marriage, which are now one of us is caring for our parents.
And it really affects the quality of that
relationship. It really affects the marriage.
It really does.
So you want to encourage people to take a vacation this summer?
We do. We have actually quite a few returning families every summer where the adult daughter and her husband want to go visit their own grandchildren, but cannot do so because they're caring for, you know, one of their parents. So they'll call us up and say, okay, I'm going to take our vacation week this week, so make sure that you have your caregiver come out the few days before and meet mom and get familiar with mom, and then we'll be there for the week 24/7 or whatever. It could be maybe twice a day checking in on mom, making sure she has her meals and her meds, but she's independent by herself during the rest of the day. But we need to come in and just maintain those regular schedules for meals and meds. And then the adult daughter and her husband can take off and enjoy themselves and get a little, you know, respite for themselves. I often say that respite is like a bank account. If you don't make deposits in it periodically, eventually there's nothing to withdraw. So you need to definitely recharge your batteries, put something in your deposit in your own personal bank account.
That's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, is that people wait till it's they're so drained. And part of what can help when you're looking at taking some respite care is using an online calendar. I often refer people to two different online calendars. They're free of charge, they're private, and they're web-based ways to set up a schedule. Do you want to talk about yours at Family Caregiver Alliance, Donna?
Well, we're connected. It's not us. It's an agency called Lotsa Helping Hands, L-O-T-S-A. helpinghands.org, and there's a link to it on our website, which is caregiver.org. There's also Share the Care. There's also something called the TYZE program, T-Y-Z-E. They're all programs that will help people to kind of rally, I call always say aunts, uncles, cousins, neighbors, friends, and relatives, you know, that how do we allow other people to be part of the caregiving so it's not all on the shoulders of one person.
And you can actually list the tasks. Mom needs to go to the Kaiser on Tuesday. We need medication picked up. And then people getting that email on that circle can actually respond and say, I'll do it.
Right. So you can, you know, there's a calendar. You can put things on the calendar. You can send out mass emails. And it's really allowing people. And I always want to tell people that, you know, it's actually a gift when you allow someone to help you, because they get to feel good also.
Yeah.
And it's not, we're reluctant to do it because we don't want to be a burden and, you know, all those kinds of things. But actually creating that community that helps with the caring is beneficial to everybody.
And I want to say that it's for people who might be ill, people who, not necessarily elderly, or maybe even new parents that are overwhelmed with being a new mom and new dad, and they need a community around them to help do some extra things. And locally, Steve created OurBigCircle.com that I suggest people use. So you can go to OurBigCircle.com, you can go to Lots of Helping Hands. There are resources out there, and that's why I want to encourage people to either call Family Caregiver Resource Center, call you, Julianne. You want to give out your info, too?
Yeah, we have caregiverstress.com, which is a great website to go on and also get some valuable information. Home Instead's phone number is 707-586-1516, and we also have a blog which has a lot of issues seniors are dealing with today, and it's homeinsteadsonoma.com.
Wonderful. And Family Caregiver Alliance number?
Is 800-445-8106 or caregiver.org on the web.
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies, both for being here today. And caregivers, try something today. You know, make one phone call to get the ball rolling.